grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we don't normally do this around here, but this week especially, Miss Paula and I worked together on the children's message and the message to kind of integrate it a little more than we usually do. From week to week, I think, Paula, don't we just kind of rely on the Holy Spirit to work it together, right? But this is an important message for us as we come to Palm Sunday and look forward to walking with Jesus, following him to the cross during the week of Holy Week coming up. So I wanted to open this morning with a story that I heard years ago about a monastery in the mountains of northern Italy that was famous for its singing monks. The choir was so well known that the people would flock there from around Europe to hear the hauntingly beautiful singing and chanting of their worship services. And the abbot who served there was the choir director, and he was famous in his own right as a vocalist, but over the years, his voice began to fail. However, this was not really a problem for the abbot. You see, every night he would pray, asking God to provide beautiful voices for the choir, and God always seemed to bring the right person at the right time for the group. And people continued to journey there and be filled with awe and wonder. But one year, the choir lost more than a few key voices in their group, and they didn't sound quite as amazing as they once did. As fate would have it that year, the abbot received a correspondence from one of the best opera singers in all of Europe, telling him of his upcoming visit for an evening worship service. He too had heard all the accolades and wanted to come and hear the beautiful music. The choir director panicked. He could not imagine having this prestigious tenor come and hear this group of average talent. They weren't quite up to the standard that he had set and maintained for so many years. In his fear, the director came up with a solution. He went to a neighboring city and hired a few great singers to come for that evening to replace some of his choir and ensure that the music was excellent and their visitor would be impressed. And the music for worship that night was brilliant. Maybe the best it had ever been. The director even thought to himself that it was fantastic. And as the famous opera singer departed to continue on his journey, he even had some favorable words to share. And that night, as the abbot retired to his room and reflected on the evening's events, he prayed partially with relief and partly in hopes that God too was happy with the music. And then he heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Dear child, where were my voices tonight?" To which the director responded, "What do you mean? I had the best voices in the region singing tonight. I can't remember a time when the music was more beautiful than this." "Yes," the Lord said, "but where were my voices? The ones I gave you to lift up their praises to me." Just then, the abbot realized that in his pride and fear, he had forgotten the main thing, that what he was called to do was lead the worship services at the monastery for the praise and glory of God, and not for the praise and glory of man. On this Palm Sunday, before we journey into Jerusalem and to the cross with Jesus, we need to deal with the issue of pride. Because pride confronts everyone who would call Jesus Lord, only to watch him ride into Jerusalem humble and mounted on a donkey to die. If we're honest, each one of us has a little fear in us at the prospect of death. And to think about following Jesus to the cross, even for us who know how the story ends, is a bit unsettling. Yet, if we are truly following Jesus, we know that we cannot get to the empty tomb until we go to the cross. Right before our gospel reading in John chapter 12, Jesus speaks to the cost of discipleship, of following God, saying this: "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." The Son of Man is about to accomplish something so profound that words fail to fully capture its significance. Luther would call it the Fröhliche Wechsel in German, the joyous exchange. It is the heart of the gospel, that God would come down from heaven, that he would leave his throne, a holy, innocent, and powerful king, and humbly lay the sins of the whole world on his Son in order to die in our place. This is the most profound mystery the world will ever know. Yet the gospel tells us that the death we deserved for the consequence of our sins, we do not have to suffer. Jesus has already suffered that for us in our place. No, the life we do not deserve, the beautiful, joyful, sin-free, abundant life that God offers forever, that is our guaranteed promise, received as a free gift simply by faith. And there's just one thing that can stand in our way from receiving this gift, and that is pride. You see, sin separates us from God, but sin can be forgiven in Christ. We know that. Pride, however, is more dangerous than any other vice or weakness, because pride blinds us, blinds our eyes. Pride is like darkness, which is interesting here in this context, because in the gospel, when the crowd asked Jesus, "Who is the Son of Man?" he refers to himself as light. We just heard that read, saying, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you." The one who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. You see, pridefulness darkens our eyes as we try to find our identity in anything other than God. It may be our own self-worth, our accomplishments, or our own ability, instead of finding our true identity in our Creator God and all that He has given us in Christ. It's hard for prideful people to walk in the light of Christ when his light shows us our own blindness and our need to humble ourselves and confess our sins. The Christian author C.S. Lewis once wrote about pride, saying, "As long as you are proud, you cannot know God. A proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you are looking down, you cannot see something that is above you." Pride has been called the sin from which all others arise. because like the one who walks in darkness, the one who walks in pride does not know where he is going. In our opening illustration, the choir director had lost his way, in a sense. He had forgotten the most important thing about worship, that it's not about how beautiful the music is or the style of music or whether people thought he was a great choir director. It's all about God's voices joining together in worship and praise. Which brings us back to the children's message. Because I'm not talking about false humility either, right? Saying that we can't do something or we aren't as good as someone else or it may take us longer than someone else. That's just another form of pride. When we say we can't do something that God has given us to do, has called us to do, we minimize God's gifts just the same, and we miss an opportunity to give Him the glory through what He can work in us. Whether it's singing in worship or serving anywhere else in the church, God has given each of us gifts to use. And when we use them in loving service and faith, God is glorified and the kingdom grows among us. We have been tremendously blessed by God here at Messiah in so many ways. May we continue to be a church ready to move forward in faith and bold confidence in what God can and is doing in this place and what He will do. So whether you are a longtime member or a new member for the first day, a first communicant, as we'll have in just a moment, or you're communing for the 1,000th time. Have you ever counted how many times you've communed? It's pretty humbling. As we celebrate the opportunity, if you were here last week, you know that we voted to begin building a new building right out here. And as we celebrate that opportunity to build a building, may it never be about the building. May it always be about expanding the ministry and giving glory to God. As we welcome and serve new people, may we always be ready to recognize God's hand in all of it and give Him glory and let Him turn any pride in us into humble confidence for what He has done and is doing in this place. Because brothers and sisters in Christ, the good news that we know so well, the good news of the gospel, is that our salvation doesn't depend on us. It never did. It only ever has depended on Christ. And somewhere in our weakness and in our failing and sin and remorse and repenting, our fragile pride and fear is put to death and it's replaced with humility as we journey to the cross with Jesus. As we learn what it means to follow Jesus to the cross, our faith grows, and God moves us from pride to humble confidence in our Savior. Every year, as we reach this weekend, Palm Sunday, before we get to celebrate the celebration of Easter, we remember Palm Sunday and the week of our Lord's Passion. Between the triumphal entry to Golgotha, the Son of God demonstrated humble confidence in our Heavenly Father as He went obediently to the cross for us. I love these words that we've already heard twice in this service from Philippians chapter 2. And so I want to close with them again. And I want you to just open your heart to receive them and remember the week that is laid before us again this year. Hear now God's word. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient even to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God our Father. Amen. And now may the peace, which surpasses all understanding, may it keep our hearts and our minds in our humble King, Jesus Christ. Amen.